It was early afternoon on the sort of day that's common enough in the Short Hills Amish country during midsummer. Overcast and hot, the heat magnified by a syrupy humidity that hazed the horizon and made our part of the world, which usually looks big and generous to me, appear small and faded instead, like an old snapshot that's lost most of its color. From the west came the sound of unfocused thunders. By supper time, there might be more storms. We'd been having them 3 days a week since the middle of June, it seemed, but now there was only the heat and the humidity, wringing the sweat from you as soon as you stepped out of the air conditioning. Two rubber pails stood in front of the Shed B door, a bucket of suds and a bucket of rinse. Sticking out of one was the handle of a squeegee. Kurt's boy was a neat worker. Phil Candleton was currently sitting on the smoker's bench, and he gave me a wise glance as we passed him and walked across the parking lot. "I was doing the barracks windows," Ned was explaining, "and when I finished, I took the buckets over there to dump." He pointed at the waste ground between Shed B and Shed C, where there were a couple of rusting plow blades, a couple of old tractor tires, and a lot of weeds. "Then I decided, what the heck, I'll give these shed windows a quick once-over before I toss the water. The ones on Shed C were filthy, but the ones on B were actually pretty clean." That didn't surprise me. The small windows running across the front of Shed B had been looked through by two, perhaps even three generations of troopers, from Jackie O'Hara to Eddie Jackaboy. I could remember guys standing at those roll-up doors like kids at some scary sideshow exhibit. Shirley had taken her turns, as had her predecessor, Matt Bibicki. "Come close, darlings. See the living crocodile. Observe his teeth. How they shine." Ned's dad had once gone inside with a rope around his waist. I'd been in there. Huddy, of course, and Tony Shane Dinks, the old sergeant commanding. Tony, whose last name no one could spell on account of the strange way it was pronounced, Shane Dinks, was 4 years in an assisted living institution by the time Ned officially came to work at the barracks. A lot of us had been in Shed B, not because we wanted to, but because from time to time we had to. Curtis Wilcox and Tony Shane Dinks became scholars, roadmasters instead of roads. And it was Kurt who hung the round thermometer with the big numbers you could read from outside. To see it, all you had to do was lean your brow against one of the glass panes which ran along the roll-up door at a height of about 5.5 feet, then cup your hands to the sides of your face to cut the glare. That was the only cleaning those windows would have gotten before Kurt's boy showed up. The occasional polishing by the foreheads of those who had come to see the living crocodile. Or if you want to be literal, the shrouded shape of something that almost looked like a Buick 8-cylinder. It was shrouded because we threw a tarpaulin over it, like a sheet over the body of a corpse, only every now and then the tarp would slide off. There was no reason for that to happen, but from time to time it did. That was no corpse in there.